have a quartet night. I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. I want to read it, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. Stop reading there and look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this service tonight. And what a blessing it is to be in your house. What a blessing it is to meet with your people. And most importantly, what a blessing it is to meet with you and to know that you are near. You're here in our midst tonight. We thank you for your presence with us. And we pray that we would not hinder your work in our hearts. But we pray that we might sit at your feet and hear your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we are continuing our studies on the subject of freedom and tyranny. We began these studies just before the 4th of July, I think back in June, and here we are now, just after Constitution Day. If there were to be a season of freedom in this country, then certainly I think the period from Memorial Day, May the 30th, to Independence Day, July the 4th, and on to Constitution Day, September the 17th, would be that period of time. It's a very important subject that we're thinking about, freedom and tyranny. We began these studies in Jeremiah chapter 5, where we looked at the conditions that existed in the final days of the nation of Judah before they were taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And it wasn't long before our studies led us to the book of Genesis, where we have studied the only two governments that exist. The government of God, which is freedom, and the government of the serpent, which is tyranny. And there is no greater example of the government of the serpent, no better description of the purpose and the plan of his government than we find here in Genesis chapter 11. And as is his way, the Spirit of God sums up the purpose and plan of the government of the serpent in six words. Six words in verse 3. And those six words are, "And they had brick for stone." And they had brick for stone. The person that the Lord used to open those words up and bring them to life for me was our pastor, Pastor Kelly. He talked about it in a message that he preached, I guess, 20 years or so ago. And the point that he made in that message was that these builders of Babel took that which they made, that which man made, brick. And what they rejected and set aside is that which God made, stone. And what Kent pointed out is that these six words are the definition of secular humanism. Brick for stone. Man for God. That one thought explains so much of what is going on in this country. These people who rejected the stone, and we know who the stone is. The stone is the eternal God, the self-existing one, the I am, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this one word, the word stone. And by the way, this is the first time that we find the singular word stone used by itself in the Bible. And it's used with the first time that we find the word brick in the Bible. Because in these two words is the battle of the ages. And in this one word, the word stone, we have the whole plan of God in His dealings with man. The Lord Jesus Christ is the stone. To the Jews, at His first coming, He was a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Isaiah prophesied those words in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 14. And as a result, the Lord Jesus is the stone that was rejected by the builders of the nation of Israel. The psalmist foretold this in Psalm 118 and verse 22, as did Isaiah in chapter 53 and verse 3, where he said of the Lord Jesus, He is despised and rejected of men. And then we come to the New Testament, and John tells us in the opening verses of his gospel, chapter 1 and verse 11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. The Lord Jesus is the stone who came to go to the cross of Calvary. Where He was, as Isaiah tells us, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. He tells us there in Isaiah 53 that His soul was made an offering for sin and that He was smitten of God. Moses smote the rock in Exodus chapter 17. And that smiting of that rock was a picture of the time when the Lord Jesus would be smitten of God. And He was smitten of God for the same reason that Moses smote the rock in the wilderness. So the water of life, the spirit of life, might flow from Him to all who are athirst, that they might come and take of the water of life freely. And because the stone was smitten on the cross of Calvary, He is the foundation. He is the chief cornerstone of the church. We read about that in the book of Ephesians. And on that stone, the living stones, those who trust Him as their Savior, are built up a spiritual house that we read about in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. To Israel, when the stone comes again, the Lord Jesus comes, to Israel at His second coming, He will be the headstone. We read about that in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 7. And at His second coming to the Gentile world power, the Lord Jesus will be the smiting stone. The stone cut out without hands that we read about in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 34, who is going to smite the Gentile world power. And He will be that stone that will become a great mountain. That stone that will fill the whole earth. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 35. Foretelling of the time when the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. And finally, to the unbelievers, to those who are lost, to those who refuse to fall on this stone and be broken over their sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, He will be the crushing stone of God's judgment. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 44, whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And so in this one word, the word stone, we can see the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see the plan of God in all of His Word, beginning at Moses in the book of Genesis, and in the prophets, Daniel and Isaiah and Zechariah, and in the Psalms, and in the Gospels, and in the epistles, all the way through to the book of Revelation. What we see in all the Scriptures is this stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's no light thing when we read these words in verse 3, that they had brick for stone. These people rejected the stone. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected the message of the gospel. They rejected the message of the Word of God from beginning to end. And in the place of the stone, they had brick that man made. That's one of the things that brick speaks to us of. It speaks to us of man's order. The stone speaks to us of several things. It speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks to us of God's order. The brick is man's order. We were talking about this in the message this morning. The stone is God's order of male and female. The brick is man's order of transgenderism. Someone, either a man or a woman, arbitrarily decides that God must have made a mistake when he made them. And so they decide that they're going to be the opposite of how the stone, God, made them. They're going to have brick for stone. For the stone of being a male, they're going to replace that with the brick of being a female. Or vice versa. The stone is God's order of marriage as being the union of a man and a woman only. Man comes along and has brick for stone. Man has the brick of same-sex marriage for the stone of God-ordained marriage. That marriage between a man and a woman. And there are so many examples of this. That's why these six words are full of meaning. And I want us to think about these words for just a few minutes and just something of the implications of them. We just will scratch the surface of these words tonight. And I hope it will encourage you to go home and study these things on your own and find the other examples of brick for stone. I want us just to think of a few. The stone is God's word. Keep your place here and turn over to Exodus chapter 31, if you will. Exodus chapter 31. In this chapter, God has finished communing with Moses on the mount. And as that time comes to a close, notice what we read in Exodus chapter 31 and verse 18. Exodus chapter 31 and verse 18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony. Notice these next words. Tables of stone. Tables of stone. Think about it. The stone, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave Moses and his people the stone of his word. This verse brings before our minds something about the equality, the oneness between God and his word. It's teaching us here in the Old Testament what John would write in John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The stone is the Word of God living. The stone is the Word of God written. The stone which testifies of the stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. Search the Scriptures, the Lord Jesus said. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The stone is the Word of God, and it's here in this stone that we learn God's order for every area of life. But what has man done? Man has decided to have brick for stone. Man has taken the brick of the philosophy of the serpent. And you know what the brick of the philosophy of the serpent is. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. There's the brick of the philosophy of the serpent. yea, hath God said, questioning the word of God, undermining the stone. And the serpent has taken that thinking, and through the philosophy and vain deceit of the world, he's put it into every one of the bricks that are these new versions of the Bible. And he has succeeded in churches and ministries and schools all over this country in having brick these new modern versions of the Bible for stone, the King James Bible. We aren't very far from it. Turn back to Exodus chapter 20, if you will. Exodus chapter 20. Here in this chapter, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. He gave his word. I guess we could say that Exodus chapter 20 is the detail of what we just read in Exodus chapter 31. Notice what we read in verse 24. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen, in all places where I record my name. I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. Now notice verse 25. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. We're talking about the stone of the Word of God. And what we learn here is that man is not to lift up his tool upon the stone of the Word of God. If he does, he'll pollute it. And that's exactly what man has done. He's taken the tool of man's scholarship and man's wisdom and hewn the stone of the Word of God to mold it and shape it and conform it like a man would make a brick in a mold to make it say what he wants it to say. And he has brick for stone. But there's another thought here that I'd like for us to consider. God says in verse 25, and if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. So what is the altar to be made of? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 6 says, thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. Whole stones. Whole stones are stones as they are found in the earth. They're stones that have not had the tool of man lifted up on them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. In Joshua chapter 8, Joshua, we read, built an altar unto the Lord. And he did it, as we read in chapter 8 in verse 31, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel. He commanded them in Deuteronomy 27 and verse 6. So Joshua was being obedient to the word of the Lord that was spoken by Moses. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. We're reading about an altar of whole stones. An altar is a place of worship. And the thought that I want us to consider is that we're reading about the stone of worship. We're reading about God's order of worship, if you will. And we're to worship the Lord with whole stones. In other words, we're to worship the Lord as we find Him, not as we want it to be, but as we find Him here in the ground of His Word. And how do we find those whole stones that give us God's order of worship? Well, the good news is there's a boatload of them. That's the good news. And the further good news is we're not going to talk about a boatload of them. We're just going to talk about a couple of them. We find the whole stones of the order of worship of the Lord in verses like Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. Where God says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." There's three whole stones in that verse. One is the whole stone of meeting in the name of the Lord. The whole stone of meeting in the name of the Lord. Paul warns in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 about the danger of the brick of denominations. He warns about the danger of the brick of God's people dividing themselves based on their connection to some man. And yet, what do we find in the church of Jesus Christ today? We find envy and strife and divisions. We find that God's people have brick for stone. The brick of a denominational name based upon their connection with some man. For the stone of meeting in my name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And him alone. Another whole stone that we find in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20 is the whole stone of where. Where? The Lord doesn't say where is, does he? And it's like that because the Lord Jesus does not put any emphasis on the place. If you read through the New Testament, you'll find that believers met in conventional places like synagogues. You'll find that they met in homes. You'll find that they met by rivers. There were church services on an island around a fire. There were church services in prison in the rubble in the aftermath of an earthquake. The Lord does not put any emphasis on the where. And yet what we have in our day is churches and ministries having brick for stone. The brick of the place in all of its glory and all of its grandeur and all of its splendor. That brick for the stone of worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth as God desires. Apart from any emphasis on the place. You remember he told the woman at the well in John chapter 4. He's looking for those to worship him in spirit and in truth. Not in this mountain. Not in Jerusalem. Where they worship him in spirit and in truth. The third whole stone that we find in Matthew 18:20 is that it's two or three. Two or three. That's one of the whole stones. And that whole stone puts no emphasis on numbers. And yet, what do we find in churches today? They have brick. The brick of numbers that can cause men and ministries to vaunt themselves before the Lord. And claim that their own hand, something that they've done, the facilities, the programs, all of the various outreaches, their own hand have accomplished all of the great numbers that they have. They have brick for the stone of the hard sayings of the Word of God. The hard sayings of the Word of God that try the hearts of those who hear. And those hard sayings will cause many of the number of professing disciples to go back and walk no more with the Lord. You see, that stone has to go if you're going to have the brick of numbers. We find another whole stone in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40. It says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." In Exodus chapter 32, we read about a meeting, really in connection with Moses coming down from the mount with the tablets of stone. We read about a meeting there that the children of Israel had. And in that meeting, the people of God were not doing things decently and in order. And at the core of the confusion of that meeting was music. Not psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It wasn't people singing and making melody in their heart to the Lord. It was loud music that came from the camp of the people of God, so loud that it could be heard by Moses and Joshua up on the mount. And it was music that both Joshua and Moses described as noise. It was music that caused the people to shout. It was music whose effect was to condone and encourage nakedness and to produce an atmosphere of entertainment among these people, to the point that the Bible tells us that they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play and they danced. The people of God in Exodus chapter 32 had brick for stone, just as countless churches have in this country today. They have the brick of the noise of the praise and worship service, for the stone of the decent and ordered preaching of the Word of God. And the result is churches that have brick for stone. The brick of conformity. The brick of compromise. For the stone of obedience to the Word of God. And the result is not just felt in the churches. The result is that this country has brick for stone. This country has the brick of man's order for the stone of God's order. This country has the brick of secular humanism, man in the place of God, for the stone of God and His Word. And it began in the churches of America. It began in the churches of America. And I'd like to show you the ultimate end of brick for stone. One part of the end of brick for stone, we see in Genesis chapter 11, if you still got your finger there, look back there again. Genesis chapter 11, and look at verse 8. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. The name Babel means confusion. Confusion. Folks, there's a great deal of confusion in this country today. Marriage between a man and a woman, same-sex marriage. Male, female, people whose personal identity and gender corresponds to their birth sex, the way God made them. And transgender people who say that their internal and personal view of themselves is different than their biological sex. That's confusion. Political correctness is part of the confusion in this country. History is heritage and needs to be studied. And it does. We've talked before how a nation that denies its past has no future. But political correctness says history is racist. And therefore it needs to be removed. That's confusion. But the ultimate end of brick for stone we find in the book of Exodus. I'd like for you to turn to Exodus chapter 1, if you will. Exodus chapter 1. This is the ultimate end of brick for stone. Exodus chapter 1, look at verse 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. Now, it's important what the Lord tells us in the next verse. The Spirit of God could have stopped there at verse 13. And gone right on to verse 15, we would have understood exactly what he said. The Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, to break apart, to fracture. That's what that word means. It means severity. It means cruelty. But the Lord didn't stop there. He wanted to tell us what it means. He wanted to give us the detail of what it means to serve with rigor. And we see it there in verse 14. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. What's the next words? In mortar and in brick. The first mention of brick in the Bible is Genesis 11 and verse 3. And they had brick for stone. Exodus 1:14 is the second mention of brick in the Bible. And folks, that's no accident. Because the end of brick for stone is a life that is bitter with hard bondage. That's true of individuals, whether you're saved or lost. When we have the brick of our own will, when we have the brick of our own way for the stone of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word, the end of that will always be a life that is bitter with hard bondage. It's true of nations. When a nation has brick for stone, when a nation has the brick of secular humanism, the brick of man's order for the stone of God and His Word and God's order, the end is the loss of individual liberty. There are no stones in Egypt, folks. There is no individual liberty. That's another thing that stones speak to us of. Individual liberty, the unalienable rights of the individual given to the individual by God. There are no stones in Egypt. Only brick. Only conformity. And as a result, only lives that are bitter with hard bondage. We're getting closer and closer and closer to that point in this country. And in the light of that, we need to ask the Lord to help us as individual believers and as a collective body of His people to not follow the course of this age, to not have brick for stone in our lives as individuals, in this church, as a body of believers. May the Lord help us in these days when we see this coming to pass. Father, we just thank You so much for Your Word, for the message that's in every word. What an amazing book this is. And we thank You for Your Spirit who takes the things of Christ and teaches them to our hearts. And Father, we pray tonight that we would examine ourselves before You. It's very easy to think about these things in the light of a message, or of a nation, rather, of people. But our need is to examine ourselves as individuals and look in our lives to see where in our own lives we have brick for stone. We have the brick of our way and the brick of our will for the stone of Your Word, for the stone of Yourself, for the stone of obedience to do what You want us to do. We pray that we might do that tonight, that we might be used of You in these last days, in these last closing hours of this age. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.